Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
8:46, 14 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Councilman. How you doing, J.P.?
Good, Tommy. How are you doing?
I am okay. Let's talk about... First of all, I know you got an investigation going on, and we don't want to do anything or say anything that would compromise the investigation. But I spoke to Peter Whitford. I don't know if you had any conversations with him yet or not, the CEO of Meridian Rapid Defense Group. Have you spoken to him or not?
I have not. I've had some conversations with a variety of groups that I previously contracted with him, and I believe Meridian is one of the groups they're meeting with to provide some of the temporary bollards for the Super Bowl, as well as potentially Mardi Gras.
At some point, though, the investigation will look into these Archer barriers, how many they had, where were they, putting them out, and all that stuff, right? That's what y'all are looking into?
No, that's actually covered in the Liz Morrell investigation. What we're covering is the permanent infrastructure, the infrastructure that is actually was supposed to be installed in Bourbon Street, the timelines as to when that was supposed to be on board, and more importantly, Tommy, how we ended up with millions of dollars of installed bollards that couldn't stop a go-kart.
So you will not be looking into what Archer barriers they had. That's what Liz Merle's going to do, and where they were stored and all that stuff?
Yes. So the Liz Merle investigation, the Attorney General, deals with the operational deployment of things during New Year's Eve and New Year's Day as far as what happened immediately before and immediately afterwards. The council investigation is dealing with infrastructure, which is the permanent infrastructure that was supposed to be there, why it wasn't installed timely, and why what was installed isn't sufficient, and why millions of dollars were wasted on it. So it's two separate investigations. There's very little overlap, and that was done very intentionally because, as you know, when you're looking at kind of the operational deployment, that's really a law enforcement issue. And the Attorney General is looking at that from a law enforcement perspective. And also, as you know, because it would be a lot of second guessing of NOPD, Homeland Security, those groups, it was best that a third party who is not affiliated with any of those take that look. We're primarily focused on permanent infrastructure because that is funded with city dollars, taxpayer dollars. That falls within the purview of the New Orleans City Council.
And these Archer barriers were purchased by the city back in 2017. And I'm just wondering, I'm not trying to give you a hard time here, but as far as the Liz Merle investigation is going to look into, did one administration pass along to the next one that we had these things? How were they maintained? Were they ready to go? How deployable were they? Liz Merle's going to look into all of that, right?
Liz Merle's going to look into what was done or not done on New Year's Day leading up to the attack. So basically, if you want to look at a window, that window would be like December 6th from when the FBI sent out the warning that there was going to be a vehicular attack, or the warning there could be a vehicular attack, through New Year's Day. So, I mean,
I guess what I'm asking, JP, in terms of institutional knowledge in the city, having these things, or storing them, maintaining them, according to the owner of the company, it's a pretty easy thing. Virtually no maintenance. He says they've had like the eighth improvement now on the haulers to move them around easily and not easily. It would seem to me like that's something the city council would be interested in, no?
It would. And after Liz's investigation is over regarding the deployment and what things were done or not done on New Year's Day, that's something we'll look into. But right now, our primary focus is on the permanent infrastructure, because if the sidewalk bollards that have been previously vetted had been on, you wouldn't have needed the archers to begin with. So there's a whole bunch of stuff we're looking at, but like there's very clear delineations because, as you know, the city council has absolutely no control over operations at NOPD. That is fully within the chief and the mayor. And so, yeah, we're going to look at that at the appropriate time. But right now, our focus is on the things that the council does have oversight and responsibility over, and that is how we spend our money to build permanent infrastructure. I mean, the Archers seem to have been able to solve the problem, but if we've known since 2016 that sidewalk bollards were necessary, why were there no sidewalk bollards, and why were the bollards that were installed in the street on Bourbon, why do we spend so much time and so much money to have bollards that could not withstand a vehicle that's less than 1,000 pounds going 10 miles an hour?
All right, let me take a quick break. We'll pick it up. We come back and we'll look ahead to Mardi Gras and the Superdome, a story in a paper today about a last-minute rush, last dash to finish improvements. And I just wondered, somebody was quoted as saying we're doing 10 years of deferred maintenance in 6 months. Why did they wait until 6 months before to do it? And that's not your fault. I understand that. I just want to know about the council's thoughts on that and also about what Mardi Gras is likely to look at with the SEER 1 rating and more. J.P. Morrell, our guest, 851, 9 till 9. Quick look at traffic on WWL. All right, quickly back to J.P. Morrell, Tommy Tucker, 856. Here, did I say WWL? Anyway, J.P. Morrell, let's talk about Mardi Gras. I was talking to Arthur Hardy, and man, he summed it up. He said, you know, you got a guy in a mask walking down the street dragging an ice chest. That's pretty much Mardi Gras. That's also pretty much everything that would attract the attention of the FBI or the Department of Homeland Security and everything else. How much of a challenge is something like that going to be, and how different is Mardi Gras likely to look?
Well, we don't know exactly how different it's going to look because we haven't really seen what it would be like to incorporate a SEER 1 rating into what Mardi Gras is. But I will say what I've been telling everyone, you really need to expect there to be substantial changes. I mean, the reality is with a SEER 1 rating, you're going to have people at the highest levels of federally and internationally reviewing the security of Mardi Gras. And as I told some other folks, once you get recommendation at the highest level on how to make Mardi Gras safer, how do you not make it safer? How do you actively choose to keep it the way it is if someone's saying that the way you've been doing things is not safe? I don't know. I mean, those experts are coming in as we speak, and I've committed to trying to work with the administration to make sure we're able to get the people what it looks like. But what I will tell everyone, Tommy, is if you walk downtown during Super Bowl, you see the drones, you see the officers, you see the military presence, whatever you see during Super Bowl, that will be Mardi Gras. And that period is not truly defined yet, but I do think it's going to cover both weekends, but I'll get confirmation on that. It's going to be different.
And
we won't even know how different it is till we get closer to it.
People misunderstand this when I say it. I'm not calling anybody out, but I did go to the Sugar Bowl, and I've never felt safer in my life, drones flying over and everything else. But they still had somebody with an ice chest on the concourse of the Superdome selling drinks without a license and all of that kind of stuff. And look, I don't care about selling drinks. That's not the point. I guess it's about, I don't know how effectively something like that can be done. I really don't know how they're going to do it. Do you have confidence? First of all, JP, scale of 1 to 10, how different do you think it's going to be? 1 being not too much, 10 being a lot different.
I think it depends. I think it's going to be a lot different insofar as it could affect how long our routes are and where those routes start and begin. I think that's something that we're going to look at because, as you know, even with the uptown route, it has three or four different places it starts, and there's typically only one endpoint. But I mean, they're going to be real potential operational changes, which could really change how Mardi Gras works. But we'll have to see what those experts say when they come in, Tommy. But I think that as far as the day-to-day experience of catching beads and coconuts, I don't think that's going to change. But who's on the route and what the routes look like, that could.
You have to come back because there are already some changes in place already that we have not spoken about. We will. Thank you, J.P. J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council. Remember, we'll come back. We'll talk to Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission, about Bill Bratton, consent decree, and more.